Like Pastor Ryan said, my name is Hannah Jones. I'm a junior at Olivet, and I'm actually graduating this spring, so I'm getting out of there a year early, which is great for the bank account. Just so you know, I have a couple of handouts. We've placed them on the back table for you. There's this sheet that says recommend a student, and on the back it also says connect with Olivet. So if you're interested in getting more information about Olivet, or you know a high school student who would be great for our school, these are in the back table for you, along with a magazine with some updates about the school and some connect cards for high school students to fill out if they want more information about Olivet. So we brought all of that gifts for you this morning. Again, I'm so excited to be here with you. Before I get started, I'll share a little bit about myself. So like Jenna, I'm also engaged to my wonderful fiance, David. We've been together for 5 years now. I'm a youth ministry major at Olivet, and I'm currently on staff at Manteno Church of the Nazarene. I'm an assistant to the youth pastor. I'm from Olathe, Kansas, which from Olivet is about 7.5 hours if you drive quick and don't stop. And I'm a fourth generation Nazarene, so I think it actually is running in my blood at this point. I serve as a resident assistant for Olivet. This is my second year doing so. I'm the junior class chaplain, and this is my third year in the Preaching Ambassador program. So I actually came into college and started the program as a freshman, and I'm glad you didn't have to hear me speak back then. I love traveling, and I love the opportunities that our program's given us to meet with churches, to see different churches on the Olivet region, and to just gain experience like we have been. I also love getting feedback from trips. If you have any comments or questions or things that you really enjoyed from my sermon today, my email is hejones@olivet. I love getting great feedback. It's fun to see in my email. And if anything I said today doesn't sit well with you, if you weren't thrilled about it, if you have any negative feedback, again, my email is rkeel78@gmail.com, all right? Send any negative feedback my way through that email, and I promise I'll respond to you as quickly as I can. Something that I've always wanted to do is run a marathon, but realistically, that's really hard. It takes a lot of training, takes a lot of commitment, and it's a lot of hard work. So instead, I think it would be easier to just throw on a shirt that says marathon runner, buy one of those 26.2 stickers, and tell people that I'm a marathon runner. It's a lot easier. Way simpler, way less time, way less stress on my body. I don't really want to walk the walk or run the run. I just want to talk the talk. So I'm a marathon runner. I'm an Olympic athlete. Oh, and I'm a surgeon. But really, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Just because I have a lab coat and a scalpel does not and should not make me a surgeon. Doesn't mean I'm qualified, it doesn't mean I've done the training, and it doesn't mean I actually do the work that a surgeon does. Just because I say I'm an Olympian doesn't mean that I'm someone who has competed in the Olympics. So what about our faith? What about Christianity? Do we ever fall into the trap of talking the talk without walking the walk? I know that I've fallen into this many times before. Today I'm going to be talking with you about one of my favorite people in the Old Testament, Rahab. Her story is mentioned in Hebrews 11, which I know that you guys have been going through as a church. Joshua 2 gives an account of Rahab, her faith, and everything that accompanies that. So a little bit of background on Joshua. Joshua follows Moses as the leader of Israel. So after Moses dies, Joshua steps in and takes over. And God is with Joshua, and he promises to be with him if Joshua follows the Lord. So Joshua sends spies into Jericho to scope out the land before they come and invade, which is a very wise move for Joshua. Make sure that they understand the land and they know what's happening. So I'm going to read Joshua 2 for you right now. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered in your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men, and she had hidden them. She says, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. and as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. And for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves for 3 days, and then go on your way. Now the man had said to her, this oath you made us swear by will not be binding on, unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the windows through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father, your mother, your brothers and your sisters, and all who belong to them into your house. If any of them go outside into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from this oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in her window. When they left, they went to the hills and stayed 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord surely has given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. This is the word of the Lord. So what does this story tell us about our faith? What does it tell us about God? And what does it tell us about us as God's chosen people? First, a little bit more about Rahab's story. I think my favorite part of this is the spies, because they are terrible at their job. They're caught within two verses of this story. It says, the king knew that the spies were here, and he knew that they were at Rahab's house. They were completely dependent on Rahab in this moment. So these spies are completely dependent on Rahab. But by hiding these men, her life is in danger. Not only is she lying to the men who come from the king, but she's committing high treason for helping them spy. By hiding these men, she is laying down her life. But why does she do that? Why does she risk everything for these two men? Rahab says that she, like everyone else in Jericho, has seen what Israel's God has done. She knows that he is powerful and worth following. She has faith that by hiding these men, she is doing what is right. She has faith that these men and their God will come through for her. Rahab saves the men in order to be saved, along with her family. The men make her promise not to tell, which is kind of funny because everyone already knows that they're there and everyone already knows that they're spying. And she makes the men promise to spare her. She had to have incredible faith in this moment. She didn't know if the men would come through or not. The second that they were out of her window, she had no idea if they would leave and remember her, or if they would leave, turn their back on her, and never breathe a word of this moment again. Why would they? She was an outsider. She was a prostitute. She was the lowest of the lows, and they didn't need her once they left. But she had faith that they would come through for her. Rahab hangs a red cord in her window to show that she is to be saved. The Israelite people celebrated Passover, which was a remembrance of the time that they were delivered from Egypt. During that time in Egypt, they painted lamb's blood on the doorways to show the angel of death that they should pass over their house and their lives should be spared. And during this time, they were able to escape from Egypt. So as the Israelites celebrated this, the time of deliverance and the time of saving, Rahab participated in her own Passover. She hung the red cord out of her window to show that her life should be spared. It was a symbol not only for the Israelites to see, but it was also a symbol of her faith and the dependence on God that she had and the promises made to her. So what happens to Rahab? Do they remember her or do they forget? Joshua 6 says this. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. Rahab and her family were spared the day because of her faith. Not only was she spared, but they were accepted into the Israelite community. Once an outsider, now brought in to be an insider with God's chosen people. I think there are many significant things that we can learn from Rahab's story. First, what does her story tell us about faith? Having faith, according to Rahab's story, is to acknowledge, commit, and act. First, she acknowledges God. She recounts all of the incredible things that God has done for his people. She states that it's important to know God, and she does know God, just like all of Jericho. All of Jericho acknowledged God's power and God's presence with his people, but everyone else stopped there. She continues one step further, and she commits. She believes in God, and she has faith that he is real and that he will save her, and she commits and promises to act. And then she takes it one step further, and she acts on these promises and on this acknowledgement that she gave. This goes beyond just knowing, because all of Jericho knew that God was powerful, and all of Jericho knew that God would destroy them, but that did not save them. All of Jericho acknowledged God, but they stopped there. True belief will flow into action. It will flow into life-changing action. Rahab committed to God, and because of that commitment, she acted. Imagine if she had acknowledged God, and she had committed to hiding the men, and she had committed to keeping their secret, and she had committed to putting the red cord in her window, but then she didn't do any of those things. Would that have saved her? What if her commitment and her faith didn't cause her to act? Would it really have been true faith? No. She would have ended up like all of the rest of Jericho. Rahab is praised in Hebrews 11:31. It says, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." Her position in this passage is much deserved. Because of her faith, it not only saved her and her family, but it also saved the lives of the Israelites, and it gave them the chance to continue on in conquering Jericho. Her position in this passage and her naming in Hebrews 11 was not because she knew who God was. If it was, all of Jericho would have been listed. And it wasn't because she simply made promises to save them. It was because her faith led to her actions. That is why she's remembered in Hebrews 11. So what does her story tell us about God? God does not choose us after we follow all of the rules. Our faith is not dependent on what we have done, because if it was, would Rahab really be the center of this story? Would Rahab really be the one to save the men and be accepted into the community? It would have been some devout Jewish man who followed every rule and every regulation set up ever. James 2:25 says, "In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction." God will transform us and he will work through us. And when we are faithful and have that relationship, works will flow. God doesn't expect us to work before the relationship, but because of that relationship, it will cause us to act. God does not choose us when we are complete and perfect. He chooses us before, and he chooses us when we're a mess, and he draws us closer to him. He doesn't choose perfect people for his tasks. He doesn't require us to be the smartest or the most talented person before he uses us for something. Rahab could not have saved the Israelites or herself without faith in God. Isn't that when he's most glorified? when everything points back to him, when we can't claim any of the credit for ourselves. Finally, what does Rahab teach us about ourselves and about our lives today? First, it's important to see that a major theme in the story is others blessing God's people as much as God's people may bless other people. Others can bless us too. Just because we're God's people does not mean that everyone else is worthless. Imagine if the spies went into Jericho but refused help from Rahab because she was a bad lady or because she wasn't a Jew. Imagine if they only would accept help from someone like them. They wouldn't have made it past the door alive. We cannot shut ourselves off to those around us because they don't live like us or because they don't look like us. This reciprocal deliverance, both saving each other, found in Rahab, can still occur in our lives today. Yes, we are to be blessings to those around us, and we are to be the greatest blessings here on earth, but we should also remember that others may bless us too, and in that, we may save them. Rahab was the lowest of lows, yet she was the most important part of this narrative. Without her, this story would not have happened. Time after time in the gospel, we see Jesus reach out to the sinners and the tax collectors and the lowest of the lows and the bottom of the barrel type of people. People that are forgotten or people that we see as too far gone for God. Yet those are the ones that God uses most in the New Testament. God takes the worst of the worst and he makes them the best of the best because they have faith and trust in him. One of my favorite parts about Rahab's story is not found in the Old Testament. Rather, it's found in Matthew. When looking at the lineage of Jesus in Matthew 1, a special name sticks out, Rahab. Not only was Rahab's life spared that day, and not only was she accepted into the community as one of the Israelites because of her faith, but she was also given one of the greatest blessings and testaments by being a part of Jesus' lineage. So not only was she saved, but she was greatly blessed because of this faith that she had. And I can guarantee that she never could have guessed the impact that would come from acknowledging God, committing to him, and acting on what she knew to be true. Rahab went from an outsider to an insider. She went from a prostitute to a righteous woman because of the faith that she had and the actions that flowed from it. Just like I cannot throw on shoes and call myself a marathon runner, we as Christ followers cannot put on a cross necklace and claim that we're Christians. We can't just quote scripture, but then live our lives as if transformation has not taken place. We can't just quote scripture and live as if transformation will never take place. We are called to not only know about God, we're called to not only acknowledge God, but we're called to take it further. We're not called to only make promises, but we're called to have true faith, to act on our faith, and to live our lives pointed towards Christ. Rahab's faith led to actions and to a life that she never guessed possible. So where will your faith lead you today? Thank you.